son. Back to chapter 19 now. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. That just cracks me up, the horse. I can't wait to see the horse. You know I'm a horse guy. What about the horse? This is the one right here. The horse against his army. Now, this is the destruction of Jerusalem now. So what's going to happen. We saw some other destructions of the world, but now it's zeroed in on Jerusalem. Let's look at that at Zechariah 12:2. The burden of the word of the Lord for it. That's one. 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Then verse 11. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon. Then chapter 14. See, all the nations are going to come down against little Jerusalem.
Yes.
Chapter 14 in Zechariah. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against these nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
Yeah.
Then verse 12 in that chapter. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. It's going to be a rough time.
Yeah.
Luke 21:20. Luke 21:20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That's the chronology of the battle. Let's go back to chapter 19, Revelation 19:20, and we see the results of the battle. And the beasts were taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That'd be a real good place to say amen right there. The preacher thought it was a good place to say amen. Let's try that again. Now, this is the who's been giving us trouble. The devil, the beast, the antichrist, the false prophet. The devil will get his in a little bit. But then in verse 20 right here, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. And anyone been deceived? Maybe you know someone that's deceived. And them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's a little bit better. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. There he is again. which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with his flesh. God makes it clear that His Word is like a sword. Let's look at it in a couple of other places. Hebrews 4:12. We don't serve a manby-pamby God.
That is right.
Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick, alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 17. And takes the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is, equal sign in math, which is the Word of God.
Right.
One more time, Isaiah 11:4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The rod of his mouth, the sword of the Lord. He used his word, the sword of the Lord. He used his word to create the universe. Everything you can see, he spoke into existence. And a lot you can't see. With his word, he used his word to save me.
Sure.
How'd you get in?
Yeah.
If you're saved, the Bible wasn't very far away when you got saved. He'll use his word, the word of his mouth, to destroy the wicked. It's his word. It's his word. Revelation chapter 20. Now, Brother Clark made it clear that the Lord has already come. He came in chapter 19. And in chapter 20, during this millennium, the first seven verses will have the phrase, 1,000 years, six times. So the millennium, the 1,000-year reign, is getting ready to start in chapter 20, the first half of chapter 20. And the temple during this time will be different than any temple we've had here. Number one, there'll be no veil, no barrier between man and the holy place.
Right.
On the day Jesus rose from the dead, the veil was rent from top to bottom, and it hadn't been replaced. You can go straight into the Holy of Holies anytime you want to. You're a high priest. I could have went this morning if I wanted to, about daylight, about 5 o'clock. I could have if I wanted to. I can go back in again at noon if I want to.
Right.
I can go in again tonight, in the afternoon, tonight. It's open. The way to God is open.
Yeah.
We can go straight in. We don't have to have any formality. Amen. That's right, Brother Roger. There's no table of showbread. Well, why, Brother Rick? Because the bread of life is going to be there.
Yeah.
That's a picture of Him. We don't need any more pictures. He's going to be there. The substance is going to be there. There won't be no more shadows. The one that casts the shadows is going to be there.
Yeah.
There won't be no lampstand because the light of the world is going to be there. It'll be the S-O-N. There'll be no reason for the S-U-N. The S-O-N is going to be there. He's going to be the light of the world. There'll be no Ark of the Covenant in the back with the angels hovering over top and the glory cloud over top of it because the Shekinah glory Himself will be there. The one that made that the cloud represented. He'll be hovering over the ark. And then one more thing, the east gate will be closed. I didn't understand that really why, but it says it in Ezekiel. I didn't really know why until I checked it out. They say it was honor to an eastern king and no person go through the gate that he went through. Made him separate. Made him above. By sealing the gate, God reminds us that all the glory in that city, he'll never depart again.
Amen.
He's there to stay. Okay, chapter 20 now. The reign of the Lamb instituted. And again, we have the phrase 1,000 years in the first 7 verses 6 times. And we'll read them in a minute. But leading up to that, that's called the millennium. There's a group, there's not many of them left anymore. They were popular back in 1930s or something, called postmillennialism. And they assumed that Jesus would come at the end of the millennium. Well, Brother Clark just read it in chapter 19, and now we're starting the millennium. He comes before the millennium. He comes before. Then there's a group called all millennialists, and they mostly do away with the millennium, basically saying they don't believe in it. And if there is one, they think the Lord's coming back in the middle. Well, no. Clark just disproved that. The Lord come back in chapter 19, and now it's the millennium. That's what's going to happen. God has a definite program. No general judgment. It's not the pieces of Revelation aren't like a patchwork quilt and you just put them in wherever you want to. No, it's in order. It's in order.
Right.
And then premillennialists, that's us, if you can say it, if I can say it. Premillennialism. What we do, we believe that chapter 20 is what it says. We take it at face value.
Right.
Let's just look at verse 4 here for a minute. And I saw the thrones. We believe the thrones are literal. And they that sat on them, judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. We believe that the martyrs are literal.
Yeah.
We believe that, then it says that they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. We believe Jesus is literal.
Yeah.
And, then it says, and for the Word of God. We believe the Word of God is literal.
Yeah.
We believe that, and which had not worshipped the beast. We believe that the beast is literal.
Yeah.
Neither his image. We believe the image is literal. Neither had he received the mark. We believe the mark is literal. It's a real mark. It's a physical mark. You can touch it. Upon their foreheads or their hands. We believe the foreheads are literal. We believe it's talking about literal hands, real hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We believe the 1,000 years are literal.
Yeah,
it's all literal, just like the whole book's literal. It's literal. It's real. Each and every Old Testament prophet told of the kingdom age, and here it is. Just like the return was in chapter 19, here's the kingdom. We're premillennial, pre-trib. We believe that Jesus returns for His saints at the rapture before the tribulation, and He returns with His saints before the millennium.
Yes.
We just saw it. Man is so incurable and so depraved, we're going to see at the end of 1,000 years he's still rebelling. Those that went into this in their natural bodies that weren't born again, they're glory hardened. Two things Brother Rick will never figure out. One is how bad I am. And number two is how good He is. We'll never figure it out. Never figure it out. Impossible for any man to comprehend how bad we are. Jeremiah 17:9. I know you know this. But I need it anyway. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart. Whose heart, Brother Rick? Well, my heart and your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
My heart's the good news. Your heart's the bad news. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, not man. God knows how bad we are, but we can't get it in there. We can't comprehend. We forget how good and holy God is. The millennium's a time of testing of man under ideal conditions, almost like the Garden of Eden. Psalm 66:3. This is men that entered in their natural bodies. That's a different lesson, but anyway. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. But for us, it's a honeymoon. For us, it's a party. Psalm 35:27. If you've been born again, you're going to have your new body. You can look at him then. You'll have your new eyes. You won't blow up or explode. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy. This is us. This is what we're going to be doing. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of the righteousness of thy praise all the day long. That's what we're going to be doing. How about Colossians 3:15 on the honeymoon? Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. See, peace is what everybody's looking for. It's what man's looking for. And they're looking in all the wrong places. It's in God, in Jesus. Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. This is where our peace is in him. When we're thinking about him, I quit worrying about the flat tire. I quit worrying about running out of gas or where I'm going to get rent money. I start thinking about him and trust him, depend on him, rely on him. That's where my peace comes from. Job 36:11. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Any questions on that? See, the Lord, all the Lord asks is that we walk with him by faith. Trust him. Trust God. He knows all, and he does right all the time. See, we're going to a place where the hospitals are going to close. The funeral homes are going to close. There'll be no cancer, no children dying, no crime, no storms. The animals are going to be tame.
Right.
Psalm 92. Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Isaiah 2:9. We're going on a honeymoon.
Yes, sir.
Judgment's over with. That's all behind us now. Isaiah 2:4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. We're going to quit having war. We're going to plant. We're going to plow and plant. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Chapter 9, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He really is wonderful.
Yes.
Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We're talking about peace like the world's never known. Chapter 32, like the Garden of Eden. Isaiah 32:17 and 18. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. There'll be no electric bill, no phone bill, no water bill. We're going to where He's at. We're going to where He's at. Right now He's with us, but one day we're going to go over and go where He's at. Revelation chapter 20. Let's see if we can get it started now. Verse 1 through 3 is a great chain. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now all I can imagine, I've seen pictures, never been there at the docks, let's say New York, and a big chain holding a ship in harbor, a chain with a link that I could stand inside of. It's what I've seen, just a picture now. And I'm just trying to figure out how great is this chain? How big is it? It's a great chain, all I can tell you. Verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's one.
Yeah.
That's been another good place. The devil's in this chain here. Let's try it again. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Amen. That's one. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive. Anybody been deceived? Slick, trick? Maybe you know someone that's deceived. That he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years, that's two, should be fulfilled. After that, he should be loosed a little season. That's the great chain. And then here's the great rain in verse 4. I read it once, but we'll read it again. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's three. Here's the joy to the world that Brother Clark was singing about there. It's the great resurrection in 5 and 6. We've got a great chain. Verse 4 is a great rain. And we're going to be in on 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. That's 4, isn't it? This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's 5. The Lord came back before 1,000 years. The Lord came back before 1,000 years. Many will die for Christ in the tribulation, but now they live and reign with him. There's 5 resurrections. Resurrection number 1, we see it in 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That'd be a good place to say amen. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man is in his own order. Christ the first fruits, this is the first resurrection, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, chapter 20, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign, verse 4, till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest, made known, that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him to put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Resurrection number one is Christ. Resurrection number two is the church age saints at the rapture. Back in chapter 4, verse 1. We see it right here in Revelation. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15:51. The second resurrection. Second resurrection, church age saints. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's when you get your new body. For this mind will have hair. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We see it again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Resurrection number three is the tribulation saints that we just read in verse 4 back in chapter 20. The fourth resurrection is Old Testament saints. They're going to meet us. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Job 19. I know it's a lot. I know it. The Lord says it, it's true. If I say it, maybe. 25 and 26. Job 19:25-26, we're talking about the number four resurrection is Old Testament saints. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job believed it. He believed in the resurrection. Psalm 49. The psalmist, he believed it. Psalm 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Think about that a while. David, he believed it. Psalmist, he believed it. Job believed it. Daniel, he believed it. Isaiah 25. Isaiah believed it in the resurrection. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away their tears from off faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And then in chapter 26, verse 19, Isaiah, thy dead men shall live together. With my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Resurrection number five is those of the unsaved. Philippians 2. Now, I say that, but really this Philippians 2, it applies to everybody. Saved and unsaved. I'm just going to go ahead and start practicing now. Philippians 2:10-11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord, isn't He? I thought He was. I thought sure He was. Okay, then also, we already read that then in verse 5. Let's go back to Revelation 20 now. We saw the great change, the great reign, great resurrection. Here's the great revolt, starting in verse 7, Revelation 20, verse 7. Again, those that entered the millennium in their natural body, right at the end, the enemy is going to be released for just a little bit here. And here's what's going to happen. Starts in verse 7. When the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. You ready? Okay, here we go. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever 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 and ever. 1,000 years, the premillennial return of Christ. And then the great white throne. We might have to quit right there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.